This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm probably in what we call NFL control by about 9:30, and that is our operation in the stadium. That's our perch, our command center, just to be on top of everything going on, and it's an incredible team.
Welcome to the Sports Business Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Berger. You can find the Sports Business Radio Podcast, 15 years, over 600 episodes featuring conversations with the biggest names in sports like David Stern, Pete Carroll, Chris Everett, Jeannie Buss, Michael Vick, Andre Iguodala, Mark Cuban, Tom Rinaldi, Charles Barkley, Jack Nicklaus, Lindsey Vonn, Eric Spoelstra, Aaron Rodgers, and Steve Nash on iTunes or at sportsbusinessradio.com. Subscribe, rate, and review the Sports Business Radio Podcast on iTunes, and everyone who posts a review on iTunes will be eligible to be selected to join us in our studio audience at one of our Sports Business Radio roadshows presented by Boingo. Follow us in between podcasts on Twitter at SB Radio. We've been named a top 50 follow by Forbes.com for three consecutive years, and on Instagram at Sports Business Radio. Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of Sports Business Radio. We've got a great guest lined up for you this week. Peter O'Reilly, the Senior Vice President of Events and Club Business Development for the NFL. He is responsible for planning and executing the Super Bowl, the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show, the Pro Bowl, the NFL draft, and the NFL international games for the NFL. Griggs, I don't know that there's anyone in sports busier than Peter O'Reilly over the next 2 weeks. It's really insane that they put the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl. He's going back and forth between the Pro Bowl in Orlando and the Super Bowl in Atlanta. They've got teams on the ground, but it's a nuts schedule for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you think you're stressed, then you talk to Peter and you're like, oh, you got a lot going on right now.
Well, he's totally chill about it too, right? Yeah. Like, he doesn't come across, sometimes you talk to those people and they're like,
right.
And you're like, oh wow, that person's super stressed. Like, Peter comes across as like, I got this. Yep. I'm calm, cool, and collected. This is my first rodeo. And we now know the matchup in Super Bowl 53 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's the New England Patriots against the Los Angeles Rams. Griggs, it'll be another great matchup. These two teams, I think, matched up in 2002, really at the beginning of the Patriots dynasty now. It's incredible the Patriots have continued this run of excellence for 17 years now. But both the NFC and the AFC championship games were decided in overtime, the first time in NFL history that both of those games went into overtime. And Griggs, also, both were not without their controversy.
Of course, yeah. And it's kind of every football fan's dream to have, you know, the two last games of the season and they both go to overtime. I mean, that's pretty cool. So
yeah,
that was fun. But yeah, I mean, as with everything, it seems like there's always some controversy or a blown call or something. And as all we're hearing about right now is that blown pass interference call.
Well, and give me a break. Like, I love the New Orleans Saints, but when you have fans who are taking out lawsuits demanding that the end of the game be replayed, come on.
Yeah.
Like, get over it, move on. You know, as a lot of the coaches and players have said, if we weren't in that position where it came down to one call that cost us the game, then, you know, that wouldn't have meant as much as it did. But with that being said, that call was pretty egregious. I'm sure everyone's seen it a million times on replay. And I think some of the replay rules need to change about what you can review. I also think that the overtime situation needs to change. So do both teams get the ball, or is it the same rules that it is now, or if you score a touchdown, the game's over? I think a lot of people have a hard time in those championship games that
Pat Mahomes never got to touch the football.
Yeah.
Or Drew Brees never got to touch the football and the game is over. That's a tough one for a lot of people to swallow. So maybe those rules will change. But the other thing that is really interesting about the NFL now is there are so many different camera angles for replay that A, it slows the game down. It seemed like in those two championship games in the fourth quarter of each game and in overtime, like almost every other play was being reviewed.
Yeah.
So it slows the game down. The other thing is that, gosh, I'll tell you, that Julian Edelman, where it was the kick return, and you're wondering, did it graze him? Did it touch his thumbs? Even with the replay angles, I was like, I can't tell if it touched him or not. So the job of the instant replay officials to determine things that are a matter of inches sometimes, that's a really tough job.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, you think about in that moment, all of it comes down to this 1 second of where did that touch his thumb? Did it not touch his thumb? And you're right. It's like it's all weighing on these guys' shoulders and the New York replay guys. And it's crazy. And you're right. Even with all the angles and the slow-mo and the super zoomed in, sometimes you still can't tell.
Well, and how about two calls that went against Kansas City? One was the roughing the passer with Brady where the guy's arm, it looked like with the naked eye that he may have roughed him. But when you saw the replay, it's like, no, he didn't even – he grazed him.
Yeah.
And then the killer call for Kansas City was the lining up in the neutral zone,
right,
which if you think about it is a matter of inches. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to play that out more, Kansas City loses that game because the drive is kept alive by that call. And Kansas City ends up firing their defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton. I'm guessing if they win that game and they advance to the Super Bowl, Bob Sutton probably doesn't lose his job. So if you really want to break it down again, just like the Julian Edelman replay, the lining up in the neutral zone is a matter of inches, and look at the way that resonates and the impact that that one call has.
It's really crazy how in a game, 60-minute game, or plus 60 minutes with overtime, and it'll come down to one little thing like that. All that whole game, everybody's talking about one little thing, or one little call, or, oh, he's in the neutral zone. It is crazy how one little choice or decision or error can really change everything.
All right, so on next week's podcast, we're going to break down the gambling numbers. We're going to talk about the broadcast. We'll give you lots of ins and outs for Super Bowl 53 on February 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. But for today, we want to bring on the person who is responsible for the NFL League Office for producing Super Bowl 53. My guest is Peter O'Reilly. He is the Senior Vice President of Events and Club Business Development for the NFL. You can find him on Twitter at PL O'Reilly. He is responsible for planning and executing the production for the Super Bowl, the Pepsi Halftime Show, the Pro Bowl, NFL Draft, and NFL International Games. He's worked for the NFL in this capacity since 2014. Peter, thanks for joining us on Sports Business Radio. How you hanging in there? Pretty busy, I imagine.
Doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me. Good to be back with you. And we're gearing up. I'm down in Orlando right now, a few days away from the Pro Bowl, you know, having been in Atlanta preparing for about 10 days prior to coming down here. So we're in the throes of our fun time.
Yeah, I mean, this is just an insane schedule for you for the next few weeks. Maybe you can walk us through it, but you've got Pro Bowl coming up this weekend, and then you've got Super Bowl coming up on February 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Just nuts. And when we talked last year, Peter, you said you have a full-time staff of about 25 people, but then obviously you have people on the ground in Orlando and Atlanta who help you with the production, correct?
We do, yeah. So really, when it comes to Super Bowl, kind of right after the New Year, so January 2nd, the team starts to descend on the Super Bowl city. So in this case, Atlanta. And that's really when, assuming, you know, last year we had a team in the Vikings who were making a run through the playoffs. That was unfortunately not the case for the Falcons this year. So we can really start our build out, not only in and around the stadium, but the whole downtown campus, in that early January period, ramping up, throughout those days. And then as you come into mid-January, we've got Orlando ramping up and kind of building out again, not only the stadium campus, but all the week-long activities we have going on, which are actually starting in earnest today down in Orlando. And yeah, it's a relatively small core NFL team, about 25 on the NFL events team, but you obviously the entire organization in some form is involved in the Super Bowl. And then we ramp up to kind of a small army of about 20,000 credentialed people you know, when you think about all of the different roles that take place and play a role in Super Bowl. So that's the phase we're in now of just kind of fully ramping up and getting everything set to go.
You know, a lot of people think of the Super Bowl as just the game itself, but in the last decade or so, you've got Super Bowl opening night, you've got Super Bowl Live, you've got Super Bowl Experience. It's 10 days of activity leading up to the Super Bowl, and that's a ton of production as well, right?
It is, and we've really focused on creating that experience for the fan who may not have the opportunity to be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Super Bowl Sunday, but create that 10-day experience, which will be starting this weekend, and to make it as accessible as possible for fans. You mentioned Super Bowl Live, so that's a great example of an event that will open this Saturday in Centennial Olympic Park, and that's a free fan event where fans can just come down, lots of fan activities, concerts there. A lot of our big network partners will have sets there, NFL Network, ESPN. And that'll be, you know, the beauty of this Atlanta setup, similar to some other Super Bowls that have been really walkable, like New Orleans and Indianapolis. Within a 4-block radius in downtown Atlanta by the stadium, 13 of the 15 major NFL events going on during the week will all be within, you know, a few blocks there, whether that's that free Super Bowl Live experience throughout the week, Super Bowl Experience, which is opens on that Saturday, that Pro Bowl weekend Saturday as well, which is the NFL's interactive theme park going on there. You mentioned Super Bowl opening night, and that's Monday night. We've really worked on turning that primetime event on Monday night, what was media day on Tuesday with the teams speaking to the media, into really a great kickoff to the week, and that'll take place at State Farm Arena right there next to the stadium, and that's a fun one. So it's really, to your point, we want to make it as accessible as possible and create so many ways for fans, whether you're coming into the market without a ticket or whether you're in the driving distance, the Atlanta area, a chance to be part of the Super Bowl. You know, we haven't been in Atlanta for 19 years, so it's been a while.
Last year when we spoke, you guys really embraced being in Minneapolis and the cold and the north. And what's the theme this year in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, from a perspective down, certainly the bold north was a clear theme. And, you know, what we're really embracing in Atlanta is such the rich history of this town in so many ways. And really, a lot of our community elements are tying into the rich civil rights history of this town. You'll see that in game day and a lot of the things we're doing and a lot of the community elements in there, and really working with that, with all parts of that community across everything we're doing. This is such a vibrant town, and kind of this town that's a magnet in the South for so many different people. So really, in working with the team in Atlanta, just to show the vibrancy of Atlanta, you'll see that coming through. And then kind of this rich history element that you'll see. I can't talk about some of the surprises that we haven't announced yet on game day, but there's some interesting elements that will be woven through that will be really exciting. So it's kind of made with that soul of Atlanta that will come through. This town's hosted so many big events over the years. Obviously, the Olympics hosted a CFP, 2 years ago. They're coming into a Final Four after that. But I humbly say that there's few things that kind of rally a town and kind of bring together all the different stakeholders and all the different sectors in the way that Super Bowl does. And that's a testament to Atlanta and certainly speaks to the bigness of the Super Bowl. So you'll see that energy kind of radiating in downtown Atlanta, not only if you're on the ground, but if you're watching any of the coverage leading up.
Peter, Super Bowl 53 will be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 71,000 capacity, one of the state-of-the-art new stadiums in the NFL from people I've spoken with. I haven't been there, but people say it is just a jewel. Talk about some of the benefits of playing in that brand-new stadium.
We've been really fortunate these 2 years to be at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis last year, brand-new building, gorgeous, and now into Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And there certainly are real, with everything, certainly state-of-the-art from a technology perspective, that's certainly been really helpful. You've obviously got some beautiful club spaces and suites and hospitality areas around the stadium. And then they also, just in terms of the way they've built that campus, they've built it for big events. And you know, they certainly, the Falcons and Mr. Blank and Rich McKay down there in building that stadium, as I said, they built it for big events, but they built it to host the Super Bowl and certainly in their mind, Super Bowls, and thus really made, took all the care to make sure that everything you need for a Super Bowl is in there. So thrilled about that, thrilled about the way the campus lays out. You know, we'll see. It's got a, you know, one of their signature elements in there is their halo board that I'm sure you've seen, the beautiful 360-degree halo board in the middle there. So I think our team is very happy when as we come in and produce the Super Bowl in there. You've got a lot of bells and whistles to play with from a media and technology standpoint that will show really well both in the stadium and in the broadcast. So it makes it easy when you're in these fantastic buildings.
You've got two teams from top 10 media markets playing in the Super Bowl for the third year in a row. LA has not played in the game in a long, long time. Does it help you guys when you have two big media markets playing in the game? Or is it, hey, it's the Super Bowl, no matter what size the market, it's going to be lots of media covering the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the latter more. It really is. We've seen over the years that no matter the matchup, there are just so many compelling storylines, so many the Super Bowl really just draws in that audience who have, you know, followed these stories throughout the year. Obviously, we're coming out of two phenomenal overtime championship games that led into this. Certainly, the fact that we, you know, recently returned to Los Angeles, now with two teams in Los Angeles, and soon after that return, one of those teams is going to the Super Bowl, is a powerful story for continuing to galvanize that market around the return of the NFL to LA. So I think that's a really positive thing. And certainly, to their credit, we're very familiar with the Patriots, and they have been, you know, just an incredible run here. But there's, you know, the Super Bowl has that draw. Certainly the matchup and then everything that goes around it, whether it's the halftime show, the commercials, the elements leading up that that draw people in. So certainly big markets are helpful when you talk about ratings and media overall, but the Super Bowl has something special regardless.
You mentioned the Patriots, and I wonder, you know, much like Alabama in college football, is there fan fatigue? Like, hey, we've been in the Super Bowl so many times, I'm not going to go to the Super Bowl again. I'll watch it on TV. One of the things you talked about with us last year, Peter, is the ticket allocation breakdown of where the tickets go. So I guess like 17.5 go to each of the participating teams. I think it was 25% go to the rest of the 30 teams in the league. I know you keep some tickets for the league. But what happens if the Patriots don't sell all their tickets? Does that go back into the pool so you can sell those to other people?
It's a nice hypothetical, Brian, but that is, despite their success, I can tell you firsthand from calls I've been on all morning, there is no lack of demand among Patriots fans or from the Patriots themselves to satisfy that demand that exists from their fans out there. They are there is massive interest in coming to Atlanta. You know, obviously they didn't walk away in Super Bowl 52 with a victory over the Eagles. So there's a really strong demand and desire out there. And if anything, the Patriots are looking for you know, more tickets or more ways to deliver to the demand that exists out there.
So, but again, that breakdown of the tickets, was I kind of on the right path with how it breaks down where the teams get some and then the other 30 teams get tickets and then the host city probably gets some tickets? And then I know the NFL keeps some tickets for your sponsors and partners, right?
Yeah, that you had the breakdown, you know, just about right there. You had a, you know, spot on in terms of those numbers, in terms of the, you know, the 17.5% to the two participating teams. And then about a, you know, the each non-participating team gets a percentage of tickets, and then the lead gets a portion. And then the host city gets about 5%, so the Falcons get that. So those are generally where we are. And then we've worked over the last couple of years to hold back 500 tickets that we identify just amazing fans with great stories who we really just surprise and tap on the shoulder and say, "Would you like to go to the Super Bowl?"
And, I love it.
So it's been a fun. We do it throughout the year, but we also hold some back in this stage when we know the two participating teams and really work to identify incredible stories, fans who may not, you know, be season ticket members, may have never been to a game, but have incredible stories. So that's something that we, you know, make sure of. We understand that the, you know, Super Bowl tickets are it's a premium priced event, but we want to make sure that we do set you know, a significant number of tickets away to just say, you know, on us, go to the Super Bowl. You're a tremendous fan.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio with our guest Peter O'Reilly of the NFL. We'll be right back after this.
Sports Business Radio is sponsored by Boingo Wireless, the largest operator of indoor wireless networks in the U.S. Today's sports fans expect strong, fast mobile connections at their favorite stadiums. Research shows that fans will leave at halftime if they cannot get connected, which is part of the reason why professional and collegiate sports venues alike work with Boingo to manage their wireless networks. As the world's leading connectivity expert, Boingo knows how to make a venue's vision for the connected fan experience a reality. They are the only company that can provide end-to-end wireless service so teams can focus on the big game, not on their network. Boingo designs, installs, and manages Wi-Fi and cellular networks at university stadiums like K-State and the University of Houston, and major league venues like Soldier Field, Phillips Arena, and Vivint Smart Home Arena. We're excited to showcase how technology is changing the business of sports, led by companies like Boingo. Boingo connects you to the people and things you love, like sports. For more information, visit Boingo.com or email sports@Boingo.com.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with our guest, Peter O'Reilly.
I know the Super Bowl is a level one national security event. Last year, you used the Mall of America as kind of a exterior checkpoint, so you kept congestion away from the stadium itself. Are you doing that again in Atlanta? Do you have a Mall of America type of location where you're able to have an exterior checkpoint outside of the stadium?
It's a great question. Minnesota was pretty unique. So given how compact that campus is, without really any, it's really just nestled into downtown Minneapolis, there wasn't an opportunity to really build those type of checkpoints there. In Atlanta, though it is in an urban downtown campus, there's more space. So we're able to actually use right next to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, there is the Georgia World Congress Center, which is the massive convention center here down in Atlanta. So we're able to use that for a lot of our pregame functions and allow that to be tied into our screening mechanism. So we don't have that remote element with fans coming in via train or buses this year in Minneapolis. So it's a more traditional model in Atlanta, which works well, but it just kind of points to there is no cookie cutter model for the Super Bowl, either from an operational standpoint or a security standpoint.
Right. And you have to plan for like every contingency. Let's dig in to some of the production of the Super Bowl itself. I know one of the biggest productions is the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show. You've got Maroon 5. You've also got Big Boy and Travis Scott. I know you announced Maroon 5 and then you added Big Boy and Travis Scott. They're all great acts. My question is this, and I think this would be really hard if I were the NFL. When you're planning with Pepsi the Super Bowl halftime show, is there any thought given to let's go with an act that has some resonation with the local crowd? Or is it just like, hey, we're going to look at who's available and who's big at the time?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at, and this has obviously been a topic of conversation over the last few months, if you look at the history of Super Bowl halftime, almost never has the act specifically aligned with the market itself. There's some exceptions to that, but it's really been about what is the best act to deliver, you know, based on where that act is at the time and what is a pretty unique thing to deliver, which is just 12 intense minutes that end up being the biggest music events of the year. So I think we're struck that balance this year, which was important. And obviously Atlanta has such a rich musical history and such a, you know, rich hip hop tradition as well. So being able to have Maroon 5 and then partner with a legend like Big Boi out of Atlanta, and then Travis Scott, who's obviously one of the hottest young rappers out there today. So that combination is really, really works. But if you look at it historically, it's really been, you know, it's really has not been necessarily tied to the market. There's moments where you nod to it. You look at Justin Timberlake last year in Minneapolis, and obviously we nodded to Prince, or he nodded to Prince within that show. But when you look at holistically at Super Bowl week, we talked earlier about all that goes on with Super Bowl week. I would say this year, there are more music elements as part of Super Bowl week itself than ever before. We are in Super Bowl Live, which is that Super Bowl, free Super Bowl experience. We partnered with Jermaine Dupri, who's one of the great producers and a, you know, really heart and soul of Atlanta. And acts throughout the week, all Atlanta-based acts will be performing every night throughout that that festival environment. And then for the first time, we've really created a bigger Super Bowl music fest, partnered with our partner On Location Experiences. So at State Farm Arena on Thursday night, Ludacris and friends are doing a big show with Madden, our partners at EA. Friday night, Aerosmith with Post Malone, and then Saturday night, Bruno Mars with Cardi B, all at the Bud Light Super Bowl Music
Fest.
So you've got this kind of, you know, there've always been those more private hospitality, you know, concerts going on around Super Bowl. These are big arena shows under the Super Bowl umbrella taking place the three nights leading up to the game and then going into the Super Bowl itself. And then it was important for us in pregame to really tie in Atlanta to the pregame elements. So we announced recently that Gladys Knight, who's just legend, is singing the national anthem, and she's couldn't be more excited to do that, to represent her hometown as the Empress of Soul. And then Chloe and Halle, who are young sisters, who just are, you know, incredible talents, are going to be singing America the Beautiful leading into that, which kind of represents the next generation of Atlanta talent. So you strike that balance, Brian, between really reflecting the markets you're in while making sure you've got the biggest act to deliver on an audience that, you know, is 110 million plus watching.
Wow, that's going to be quite a lineup leading into the game, like you said. The game is going to be broadcast by CBS. I think Tony Romo already knows the outcome of the game probably somehow, because he's so good at predicting everything. But I'm always interested for Super Bowl, the network that broadcasts the game. It seems like they have so many cameras that they bring in. Like, they have every single angle covered. Do you have any idea, like, how many cameras CBS will use for their broadcast?
I should have the number in my head, but I don't want to give you a wrong number, but they do bring in so many additional angles and cameras into that game. You know, their team, the CBS production team is obviously, you know, so experienced at doing Super Bowls. They're such an incredible partner to come in with us. We've been working with them on Super Bowl planning, going back 2 or 3 years, and, you know, their operations team, you know, guys like Ken Agard and others who are just, you know, I can't even count the number of Super Bowls that Ken's been involved with on the operations side. Such a first-class operation, and we're excited to have Tony calling the game with Jim. And to your point, they absolutely plus up every opportunity to make sure they're not missing a shot, and they can cover everything in that building.
All right, some big picture things here, because I know you only have a few minutes left. Super Bowl, here's my idea. Tell me if you think it's good or bad or realistic. I think the Super Bowl should rotate between these five locations: New Orleans, Atlanta, somewhere in Florida. I know you're going to Miami and Tampa as your next two. California, I know you have the new stadium in L.A., and Arizona. So New Orleans, Atlanta, Florida, California, and Arizona. Here are my two big reasons. One, because they're warm weather locations, so people want to travel to warm weather, and you don't have the snow and the other elements to deal with around the production of the game. But two, and I think you know this, but I was really close to the Arizona host Super Bowl committee and saw up close how that was all planned. Peter, the thing that I don't understand is when cities don't know if they're going to be hosting the game or not for, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, the Super Bowl host committee breaks up. Like, they have to go get jobs and do other things. If you rotated between these five locations, the Super Bowl host committees would be able to stay intact, and you'd be dealing with people who have experience producing this game on the ground every 5 or 6 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're not necessarily in a rotation mode, but I think if you look at, we are further out than we ever have been on naming Super Bowls, and that's intentional because of the planning that it requires and the ability to, and we've also changed the process, as you may know, for how we select Super Bowls, and moved away from having three or four cities bid for a game and then ultimately and inevitably have losers and losing cities having put in a lot of time and resources to bidding. We've moved to a process, and some other properties have moved here as well, where we're really working with the ownership group to identify the optimal city for that year, the optimal sequencing, and going to them to receive a proposal for that year. So as we sit here today with Atlanta right in front of us, we head to Miami after that. That's in your Florida bucket. We're in Tampa the year after that, and then we're in Los Angeles at the new stadium at Hollywood Park, and then we're back close to your heart in Arizona, and then we're in New Orleans. So we've got a run of 5 years that live within your construct exactly. In some cases, I think every city's a little bit different in terms of how their sports commissions are set up. Miami actually has what you talked about. They've got in Mike Zimmer and the team down in Miami, they are they know Super Bowls are a thing in Miami, so they are almost full on with Super Bowl. And similar with New Orleans, not full on with Super Bowl, but they've got a core sports commission down there that really just focuses on these big events and big sporting events coming into town. And I could see getting to that place in Los Angeles as we move forward. Obviously, they've got an Olympics on the far horizon as well. So we are, you know, I'm not sure we're fully there on rotation, because you always want to keep flexibility should things come up, should there be either a new stadium or a new opportunity in a non-traditional market. But certainly if you look at those next 5 years, it meshes with your mindset.
Well, I did our Sports Business Radio Roadshow at Hard Rock Stadium in October with Tom Garfinkel from the Dolphins, and wow, I was amazed by what they've done with that stadium. So you're going to have
a new stadium.
Well, it really does.
Almost a new stadium.
Yeah, it really is. They've done an incredible job with that, so I know you're there next year. NFL Draft, I know that's something that you put a lot of time and effort into as well. It's in Nashville this year. Vegas in 2020. The question I hear from people all the time is the draft now going to move around to different NFL cities, or will it return to New York as it did for so many years?
Draft has been so fun to watch it evolve since we moved out of New York and went to Chicago, then Philly, then Dallas, and now Nashville and Vegas. It's, you know, Brian, there's so much interest from club markets. 20 plus clubs are really interested in hosting the draft, and unlike the Super Bowl, where you've got some weather, constraints, and certainly have some hotel room constraints around Super Bowl, the draft, for the most part, could live in any of those markets. So I think you've seen us be thoughtful about wanting each year to go bigger, do something unique, showcase something iconic in that city, whether it was the Rocky Steps in Philly. Obviously, AT&T Stadium is a mecca down there in Dallas this year, and Nashville will be shutting down Lower Broadway with all of the honky-tonks and elements there and building the stage right on Lower Broadway in the heart of Nashville, and then Vegas working through just off the strip how that comes to life. So I think the answer is we're going to continue to look at what's the way to make the draft this event that draws people in as this kind of oasis in the off season that's free and accessible and just has an incredible vibe to it. and make sure that that also complements the broadcast. Now, as we announced this year, ABC is doing a standalone broadcast, not an ESPN simulcast, in addition to NFL Network, and that show is going to be a college game day feel, a lot more kind of casual and fun beyond the Kuiper X's and O's and prognostication. So the draft is one that we're excited to continue to see grow. And the short answer is I think you will see it continue to move around.
Last question, because I know you have to go. On Super Bowl Sunday, give us your – where are you going to be? Where do you set up? Do you walk around with like five different cell phones and water bottles and – how do you get through the day, and what's your kind of perch?
Yeah, no, it's an amazing team, and it's one of those days that's just a really special day. You get up, you know, pretty early, probably up around 5, and then you're just, you know, kind of clearing through any last-minute things on email, checking in with the team, and then over at the stadium, you know, pretty early, and we set up, you know, kickoff is 6:30 Eastern. I'm probably in what we call NFL control by about 9:30, and that is our operation in the stadium. That's our perch, to use your term, where we've got every department inside and out, public safety, those running the game in there. You've got every monitor in there that shows inside and out what's going on, and then that becomes our command center just to be on top of everything going on. And it's an incredible team, an incredible group of people who you know, who have done this many times together, and you go through the day and react and play out the things you've been planning for months.
Peter O'Reilly, the Senior Vice President of Events and Club Business Development for the NFL. Find him on Twitter at PL O'Reilly. Peter, you guys do an amazing job with all that you produce, including the Super Bowl. Best of luck. I really enjoy these annual conversations, and stay in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Great to talk with you.
You too. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger, bringing you the biggest names in sports business.
Without further ado, we all know this gentleman. Let's give David Stern a big round of applause.
Let's welcome the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert. Give him a hand.
Let's give a big hand to USC alum and co-owner of the Lakers and president of the Lakers, Jeannie Buss.
Thank you for having me. What a nice turnout.
Thank you so, so much for having me, Brian. It was very, very kind, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you, sir.
Sir Charles, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing this morning?
Today's guest is Memphis Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale.
You're the man, Bart.
My guest is tennis icon Chris Evert.
It was very interesting. You asked great questions, so thank you very much, Brian.
Pleased to welcome to the show Kyrie Irving, the number one pick in the 2011 NBA draft.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm happy to be joined by Pete Carroll, the executive VP of football operations and the head football coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Coach, how are you?
Doing good. What's going on?
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Mark, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Visit sportsbusinessradio.com and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Stay connected to the business side of sports only with Sports Business Radio.
Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our show staff, Brian Griggs and Josh Blank. Thanks to our friends at Boingo Wireless for powering our Sports Business Radio Roadshow. Follow them online at boingo.com or on Twitter at Boingo. A podcast reminder, you can catch our show on demand via podcast. Go to iTunes, type in Sports Business Radio. We're rated in the top 50 business news podcasts. You can also find our show on Audioboom via the TuneIn Radio and Stitcher apps, and of course at sportsbusinessradio.com. Follow me on Twitter in between shows at SB Radio. Follow us on Instagram at Sports Business Radio. For Brian Griggs, I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.